Talking about the Texas football team, which unit do you trust more going into the 2023 season, the offense or the defense?
You are Locked On Longhorns, your daily podcast on the Texas Longhorns. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Longhorns, the show. Jonathan Davis, your host. Today's episode of Locked On Longhorns is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. On today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, we are talking about the Texas football team heading into the 2023 season. Which unit do you trust more, the offense or the defense? Then we're talking about Sir Jabari Rice. He got the invite to the NBA Draft Combine, getting called up from the G League Elite Camp. What does that mean for Sir Jabari Rice, and does that mean anything for the Texas basketball team and Rodney Terry moving forward? And then we're talking about the Texas baseball team, who got the series win over San Jose State 2-1 games this weekend. We discuss all of that and more on today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So I want to talk about the Texas offense and the Texas defense, which unit you feel more comfortable with going into the 2023 season. And this is a question, or kind of a podcast prompt, I've been thinking about for a couple of months now. Really, it's something I thought about even going back to last season, because, you know, when Steve Sarkisian is your head coach and you got Bijan Robinson, the star power, with Roshan at running back, and Quinn Ewers, the mullet, at quarterback, Xavier Worthy, JT Sanders, just weapons all around, you're going to be thought of as an offensive football team, right? And based on what we saw in the 2021 season, we felt like the offense would be a lot better with Quinn Ewers coming in, and the defense would start to get better, but we still thought they were a few years away, right? I remember all of those conversations last year when we were saying, we just need the defense to hold them to 30 points and we'll be all right, right? But what I think we saw was a defense that exceeded pretty much all of our expectations. And we had a track record of Pete Kwiatkowski taking a big jump with his defenses in year two, and that was no different than what happened at the University of Texas last year. And I thought, in your biggest games, you were able to rely on your defense more than your offense last season, right? I thought, you know, maybe over the course of the season, the offense was better. But in your two biggest games last year against Alabama and TCU, it was the defense that showed up and shined, not the offense. Now, of course, in the Alabama game, Quinn Ewers is cooking. He's 10 for 12, 134 yards, spraying the ball all over that Alabama defense. But at the time that he left the game, he only had 3 points, and they end up with 19, right? 4 field goals and 1 touchdown. And, you know, the defense holds them to 20. That's the reason that you're in the game. That's the reason you took the lead with 84 seconds left. And that's the reason you had a chance to knock off the number two team in the country, because the defense had Bryce Young and that offense in hell for 60 minutes. Then you talk about the TCU game, right? I thought that was a huge game. You had just come off the Kansas State win, I believe. You controlled your own destiny to get to the Big 12 championship. TCU was obviously still undefeated at the time, number 4 team in the country. They were coming into DKR. I just thought it was a really big chance for Steve Sarkisian to get his statement win. I remember Anthony Hill had just decommitted from Texas A&M. He was on campus. I'm like, y'all better win this game and lock in Anthony Hill. Just all of that, right? I thought it was a huge game for the Longhorns. And, you know, if this is an offensive football team, the offense didn't show up under Steve Sarkisian, right? They scored 1 touchdown on the defensive side of the ball, thanks to Jahdae Barron. And outside of that, they only had a field goal on offense, right? While the defense held TCU and one of the highest scoring offenses in the country, the offense that took them all the way to the national championship game, to 17 points, right? And I think they were averaging 45 points a game outside of that, right? So that shows the effort that this defense was able to put together against TCU and Alabama, two teams that averaged over 40 points a game this season, right? And so now coming into this year, there is even more talent, it feels like, on offense than there was last year. And that's crazy to say, because you just lost Bijan Robinson and Roshan Johnson. But I think if you go position by position based on what's come back, if you assume development and players you've brought in, I do think this offense has a chance to be a lot more explosive than it was last year, especially with the development of a young offensive line. And when you look at the defense, you expect the defense to be really good as well, but you did lose a lot of experience on it, right? Anthony Cook, Deshaun Jameson, Keandre Coburn, DeMarvian Overshown, and Moro Ojomo. Those are big losses to a defense that finally started to take that next step last year and was really good. So I said all that to say, I've been thinking about which unit do I trust more coming into the 2023 season. And I think based on what we saw in our biggest games last year, based on what we have coming back in terms of personnel and what we've brought in the 2023 recruiting class and in the transfer portal, I think I trust the defense once again going into the season more than I trust the offense. And let me explain why. And I think, let me say this before I get into it, I think the offense is going to be amazing this year. I think the offense is going to be way better than it was last year in terms of consistency. I think this is going to be the best offense we've seen game in and game out under Steve Sarkisian since he took the job in 2021. But the reason I'm more comfortable in the defense going into 2023 or going into the season than I am the offense is because I have more question marks about the offense than I do about the defense currently. So my first and biggest question mark about this offense is how much will Quinn Ewers improve, right? We know that he's going to be better in year two, right? We see it. He looks more confident. He looks more poised. He looks more focused on the task at hand. People have described it as a contract year with him potentially entering the NFL draft after this season. He said that he was disappointed in his output last year. Felt like he let his teammates and the fans down, and he didn't want to do that again, all of that, right? And then just on top of that, he was almost a true freshman last year. So you would just assume that he's going to be better in year two under Steve Sarkisian at the University of Texas, right? After kind of going through a whirlwind of leaving high school early, going to Ohio State, that not working out, coming back to Texas, all of that jazz. But the question is, how much will Quinn Ewers improve, right? Because I think it's safe to assume that we're not going to see a year one to year two Joe Burrow type leap, right? Where he went from a replaceable starter to arguably having the best quarterback season ever in college football, right? I don't know if we can anticipate that for Quinn Ewers next year without Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase on the outside. I think Quinn Ewers will be a lot better next year, but the question is, how much will he improve and can he make that jump to elite based on what we saw last year? I'm not sure if he's ready to jump to elite just yet. So I still think there will be some inconsistencies in the passing game. I still think there will be times where Quinn Ewers relies on his arm strength and arm talent more so than his mechanics and his footwork that may get him into trouble. I think there still will be times because he's a young quarterback, there will be some accuracy concerns, which you're just going to have to live with because Quinn Ewers is really talented. But like I said, he's young and could throw the ball away at times. And how much has the deep ball improved in terms of chemistry and execution? That's going to be such a big part of our offense. Will they be able to consistently hit on the deep ball? If not, I think that's going to affect the offense as well. So I think the offense will be really good, but how much will Quinn Ewers improve? None of us know that until we see it on the field. That's a big question mark for me. The number two question I have about this offense is, what does the run game look without Bijan and Roshan? Now, I have a bunch of confidence in the personnel in the running back room. I think Jonathan Brooks, Keelan Robinson, Jaden Blue, Cedric Baxter, Trey Wisner, Savion Redd, I think they're all very talented in their own right and all probably could be starters on their respective college football teams, right? They're that good. A lot of talent in this running back room. But Roshan Johnson was a fourth-round pick in the NFL, and Bijan Robinson was the eighth overall pick who won the Doak Walker Award. It's just history would tell you that you're not going to be able to replace that same level of production. I think you can have a really good run game, but you're not probably going to have the production and the talent that you had last year in Bijan and Roshan Johnson. So does that affect your run game, right? We know that we're probably going to see a lot more spread, a lot more 11 personnel this year because of the loss of Bijan and Roshan, but Steve Sarkisian still wants to run the ball with that power run game. And will it be as successful as it was last year without Bijan and Roshan Johnson? That remains to be seen. That's a big question mark for me. I think the wide receiver room will be a lot better than it was last year. It has to be, right? I think JT Sanders will be even better than he was last year. I think he'll be utilized a lot more. My only question about the wide receiver room is, what will the rotation look like outside of A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, and Jordan Whittington, right? We said that last year going into the season. Oh, we have Ajay Hall. Oh, we have Tariq Milton. Oh, we have Kasey Kahne. And going into the Washington game, we only had two receivers with 10 catches on the season, right? Actually, I think it ended with us only having two receivers with 10 catches on the season because I think Kasey Kahne ended with 8 catches overall on the season, right? So we can assume that Jonte Cook, DeAndre Moore, and Isaiah Nayor are going to have a role this year. But what does that look like? That remains to be seen. And then the interior offensive line for me, I have a lot of faith in Kelvin Banks. I think he'll improve as a run blocker. He was already elite as a pass blocker. Christian Jones, I think he was really good last year as a pass blocker and run blocker. Probably didn't have the ceiling that Kelvin Banks did, but he was steady week in and week out. But there's a lot of questions in terms of this interior offensive line. One, who are going to be the three starters when the season starts? And two, will they be able to improve in terms of the run game, right? Because like I said, you're missing Bijan and Roschon Johnson from last year. And so now with new fresh running backs that don't have a ton of experience in college football, will this interior offensive line be able to open holes and, you know, allow this run game to be a consistent part of this offensive attack? When you look at the biggest games last year against Alabama, you could not get the run game going. A large part of that is the offensive line. Against TCU, you could not get the run game going. A large part of that was the offensive line. And then in the Washington game, the last game of the season, in the bowl game, you could not get the run game going, right? And so the interior offensive line has to show a ton of improvement this year for Steve Sarkisian to be able to lean on the run game as he has in years past. How much improvement will we see from the interior offensive line? I think that remains to be seen. When I look at the defense, my only major question mark is the pass rush, but I think Baron Sorrell is probably one of the best breakout candidates in college football, period. I think he's going to go a long way to helping that pass rush this year. And then I love what you have on the other side in terms of Ethan Burke, Justice Finkley, and all of those talented players that you brought in the last 2 years behind them. I'm not sure if the pass rush is going to be elite or really good next this season, but I think you have the pieces to start to build that foundation towards having a really good pass rush. And I think you can always get creative with your DBs like you did last year with Ryan Watts and Jahdae Barron. You can get creative with your off-ball linebackers like David Benda and Anthony Hill to supplement your pass rush as well. The second question mark I have is replacing Demo, right? But I think you're going to be next to an All-American linebacker in Jalen Ford. That's going to help a lot. And I have a lot of faith in David Bender, right? If he's able to hold off Anthony Hill, that means he's a hell of a player. And if he's not, that means Anthony Hill is going to be in that position. And I think he's a future SEC Defensive Player of the Year at the 40 acres. So I have all the confidence in the world that you're going to be able to replace Demo's production. And then my third question mark about this defense is Jalen Catalan's health, right? We know when he's fully healthy, he has all SEC type safety potential and definitely could be an all Big 12 safety if he stays healthy this year. But even if he doesn't, I think you have Keaton Crawford, who got a lot of experience this offseason playing in that role while they kind of let Jalen Catalan come along slowly. You got Michael Taft, who's made plays for this team. You got Derek Williams, a five-star. BJ Allen's been here. You know, there's just a lot of talent in that safety room. And I think Jaren Thompson is going to be an all Big 12 level safety this season. So I just have a lot more question marks about the offense than I do about the defense. I think the offense is going to be really good, borderline elite. So don't take my question marks as me thinking the offense isn't going to be good. But I just think right now I have less question marks about the defense. I have more faith about the defense. And based on what I saw in big games last year, I think this defense is going to have to carry this Texas football team at times in 2023. A quick word from Built Bar, and then we're talking about Sir Jabari Rice getting some really good news over the weekend. Looking for a delicious snack but don't want all of the sugar and calories? Then you need the best tasting protein bar ever, Built. You got to try this. If you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices but you don't want to compromise on taste, I've got just the thing for you. Built Bars are Built Puffs. Built Bars are healthy and taste amazing. Seriously, they taste so amazing you won't think they're good for you. You got to try this. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they are all covered in 100% real dark chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in amazing flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built bars at Built.com, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club while still getting your specialty flavors at Built.com. So head to the website, head to Sam's, head to Walmart, wherever you need to go, get your Built bars today. So I just saw this last night and I was so excited. I could not wipe the smile off of my face. We talked about last week in terms of Tyrese Hunter potentially returning to the 40 acres that the NBA draft combine and the G League elite camp were starting to be held either like last week or over the weekend. I know for sure the G League elite camp started over the weekend. Not sure when the NBA draft combine starts. It's a really exciting time. We'll actually find out the draft lottery is tomorrow night. So we'll know if you're an NBA fan, right, where Victor Wembanyama is going to go tomorrow night, because he's obviously the unquestioned first pick of the draft. But getting back to Sir Jabari Rice, we told you there were 123 prospects between the G League Ignite camp, the G League elite camp, and the NBA draft combine, 123 different prospects, trying to compete in front of NBA scouts in an official capacity to be one of the 60 players drafted, or, you know, get an invite to a summer league team or a G League team outside of that. And I told you that two players were invited to the respective camps. Dylan Mitchell, who's likely to be drafted in the top 60, he went to the NBA draft combine, or he was invited to. And Serge Ibaka Rice was invited to the G League Elite Camp. Well, I found out last night that eight players, one of them being Serge Ibaka Rice, were invited from the G League Elite Camp to the NBA Draft Combine. So that means, obviously, Serge Ibaka Rice was showing out in the G League Elite Camp, so much so that they've invited him to the NBA Draft Combine. And I think this only increases his opportunities in terms of getting to the National Basketball Association, right? Obviously, if you get called up from the G League Elite Camp, that means that NBA scouts have seen something that's really intrigued them, right? And I'm not sure if this means he'll be one of the top 60 players drafted, you know, but I definitely think this is increases his chances, right? Even if he doesn't get drafted, you being in that combine means somebody's probably going to invite you to a summer league team, or probably invite you to at least try out for their G League team. So I think even since the season has ended, Serge Ibaka Rice has done a really good job at, you know, improving his draft stock. And he did so much for this Texas basketball team last year in terms of helping us, you know, maintain and sustain our culture and taking this team to the Elite Eight, right? When you look at the stats, they don't even tell the full story about what Jabari Rice was able to do for this Texas basketball team last year. 13 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists in 25 minutes per game off the bench, winning National Sixth Man of the Year, winning Sixth Man of the Year in the Big 12, 46% from the field, 37% from three, and 86% from the free throw line. And one thing I always like to say was, we talk about, you know, Brock Cunningham being a glue guy, but I think Serge Ibaka Rice was a glue guy too, that could get you 20 a night, right? Because whether it was guarding the best player, coming off the bench, there were nights where he had to take 20 shots. There was nights where he had to defer, you know, diving on the ground for loose balls, going and getting rebounds, being the playmaker. Whatever you asked Serge Ibaka Rice to do, he just did it, right? Without complaining, coming off the bench, whatever role you needed him to play last year, he did that. And he's one of the biggest reasons that Texas made it to the Elite Eight. And so I think that, you know, he did himself a service by coming to the University of Texas and increasing his draft stock. But also, I think this will benefit Ronnie Terry and his staff moving forward, because now you have a proven track record of the development of a guard who now at least has NBA buzz. And also, you can tell potential guards in college basketball, look what you're able to do in that six-man role here at the University of Texas. Because I think one of the hardest things to sell in college athletics is coming off the bench, right? Especially now with the transfer portal and NIL. They'll just come get your bench players and say, hey, come to Kansas, or hey, come to Georgetown, right? I know I'm throwing a little shade there, but that's the case, right? They might have told AJ Johnson, hey, look, you might be coming off the bench. Next thing you know, he was in Australia, right? That's the hardest thing to sell. But now you have a track record, right? You can tell a Kendall Weaver, like, hey, you know, Max Amos and Tyrese Hunter might be starting, but you can come off the bench and have a similar impact that Serge Ibaka Rice did, right? If you're recruiting anybody else down the road, you can say, hey, look, yeah, you're coming off the bench, but in 25 minutes, you can do what Serge Ibaka Rice did. You can get starter minutes and play just like a starter did. And so I think that this is going to help Ronnie Terry and his staff moving forward in the transfer portal, but also just the recruitment of guards. I think Max Amos is going to be really, really good for Texas this year. I think that's going to help them recruit guards moving forward. If Tyrese Hunter comes back and shows development, that's going to help them. If Kendall Weaver takes that next step from what we saw at UTA, that's going to help them. And I know they're going to bring in some more guards to fill out this roster. When you talk about Caden Shedrick, he said one of the biggest reasons he came to Texas is that history of developing bigs, right? We know we've had big men from Mo Bamba to Jackson Hayes to I can't even name all of them, right? Jericho Sims. I'm thinking football, LaMarcus Aldridge. The list goes on and on, right? We've had a lot of great bigs, and that's why Caden Shedrick decided to come here. So I think moving forward in terms of recruiting guards out of the transfer portal or out of high school, you now have Serge Ibaka Rice, who's making waves, at least to NBA scouts, and you can use this as, you know, a recruitment pitch moving forward. You can say that we have a proven track record of taking a player in who had his best season in college after 4 years at New Mexico State at the University of Texas. And we took somebody who probably was not on the NBA radar prior to the season to being on the NBA's radar after the season. I think that's only going to benefit Ronnie Terry and his staff moving forward. like I said, with Caden Shedrick, he looked at the development and the history of bigs at the University of Texas. If they can start a lineage of great guard play at the University of Texas, that'll only help them moving forward. And I think Marcus Carr and Serge Ibari Rice were kind of the beginning catalyst of that under the Rodney Terry regime. So really excited for Serge Ibari Rice. Like I said, this means that this probably increases his chances of being on a G League or NBA roster next season. And I'm really excited for the Texas basketball team moving forward, because recruits do take notice, right? And I think that the success that we've seen from Serge Ibari Rice since he stepped on the 40 acres will only allow the University of Texas to recruit the guard position at an even higher level than they have the last 2 years moving forward. A quick word from our sponsors, and then we're going to end with the Texas baseball team picking up another series win over San Jose State. So the Texas baseball team now sits at 35-18 on the season. They went 2-1 this weekend against San Jose State. Although if I told you the complete scores from the series, you would be like, how did San Jose State even win a game? So Texas outscored them, let me see, 46-15 in the series, but somehow only took it 2-1, right? That's crazy. Baseball is just crazy. So on Friday, they lost 4-6, right? They actually played a doubleheader on Friday. In the first game, they lost 4-6. The Longhorns gave up 4 runs in the last 2 innings. Something that has snake bitten them over the last 3 weeks to a month continues to show up again in that first Friday game. I think they gave up 1 run in the 8th inning or 3 runs in the 9th, or I might have it backwards. But either way, you came into the 8th inning leading 4-2, and then you lost 6-4, right? You should be able to bring in that back into your bullpen, throw strikes, and get outs, right? And that hasn't been the case for the better part of a month. We've seen a lot of runs being given up in that 8th and that 9th inning. If you do that in postseason play, you're going to go home a lot sooner than you expected to. The last 4 innings from our pitching staff, 4 runs on only 4 hits, 2 walks, and an error. So they're going to have to clean that up in terms of pitching and defense. Like I said, you do that in the postseason, you will be going home sooner than expected. This doubleheader on Friday. So I guess they got a stern talking to in the locker room, because they came back and handled business 24-3 the same day after losing 4-6. They jumped out to an 8-0 lead in that game. When you talk about the offense, you have to talk about the offense after scoring 24 runs, right? Drew 12 walks in that game, hit 4 doubles, and hit 5 home runs. So they put together some really good at-bats, but there was also a lot of pop in those bats, and that's why they got to 24 runs. And then when you talk about the pitching staff as a whole, only allowed 8 base runners, 6 hits, and 2 walks in 9 innings. That's elite, while also striking out 11. Both units came to play in the second game of the doubleheader, hence the 24-3 victory. And then you came back on Saturday and, you know, did not play with your food. You beat them 18-6. The game ended after the 7th inning. And it's funny is San Jose State actually took a 3-2 lead in the second. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Tanner Witt was on the mound. But of course, then after that, they were outscored 16-3 for the remainder of the game. When you talk about the offense, you have to talk about the offense when you score 18 runs, right? Drew 8 walks, hit 4 doubles, hit 2 homers. Like I said, putting together really good at-bats, but also showing the ability to have some pop in that bat as well. We saw the third appearance from Tanner Witt, and it was a lot better. Now, he did allow 3 base runners, and all of them scored, so that is not good, right? He allowed 3 base runners and then gave up a 3-run homer, so that is not good. But we know that he's ramping his way up, getting back into playing shape, coming off of, you know, the most devastating injury you can suffer in baseball. And I thought that this was his best outing we've seen in terms of command, in terms of him showing his stuff, right? We saw a few strikeouts from Tanner Witt on Saturday, and overall his line was 3 innings pitched, 2 hits, 3 earned, and 1 walk. So it would look a lot better without giving up that 3-run home run, but you could definitely see the improvement from the first time he went out there and threw 1 inning. First of all, being able to go 3 innings, right? This was the first time he went more than 1 inning. And 2, outside of that 3-run shot, you saw the pitches, the command, and just the poise on the mound that made Tanner Witt one of the most intriguing pitchers in college baseball before the injury. So I thought they did really well. They end the season next weekend. I think, is it against West Virginia? Let me look right now. Yeah, they end the season next week against West Virginia in the dish, heading into postseason play. So, you know, I thought that they did really good after the misstep in the first game this weekend, and hopefully they can take that momentum into a crucial series, a crucial in-conference play series against West Virginia next weekend. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. A huge shout out again to Serge Ibari Rice, who has moved up from the G League Elite Camp to the NBA Draft Combine. Also, a shout out to the other seven players that have been called up with Serge Ibari Rice. Hope that gets them closer to their dreams. Hook 'em and peace.